Okay, so last week we got up to chapter, and we read through quickly chapter 50. I just want to, Perek Nun, I just want to kind of remind us all about Perek Nun and what the message that we received in these series of Nevuot. Again, I mentioned one of the major, as I said, this entire section that we started this year from chapter 40 in the book of Yeshayahu basically deals with two major theological questions. One is whether God is able to redeem the people, the Jewish people, from exile in Babylon. And number two, does he have the will and the ratzon to do that? In the first eight chapters, the focus was especially on the question of God's power and the focus on God as creator and God as the one who created nature and God as the one who was active in history and could save at any moment and chose to save the Jewish people in the past and can save the Jewish people now. We started to see last week and the last 2 weeks that another theme that comes major is the theme of, does God desire still to save the Jewish people? And here we saw an unequivocal answer that yes, God still sees the Jewish people. He sees them as Eved Hashem in a number of instances. In some places, the Eved Hashem is the Navi, is the prophet. But in other places that we've seen already, Eved Hashem is the Jewish people. God saving the Jewish people, taking them out of exile, is a message and a lesson to the whole world about the power of God and about God's justice and that God will be salvific. And so therefore, it's a central part of what God is doing. Chapter 50, at the same time, introduces explicitly something that's been implicit a number of times in the text, and that is, in addition to God being able to do this, and in addition to God wanting to do this, unfortunately, there are some people who didn't buy into it, meaning that they, even though they heard this, they were not convinced. Sitting in Babylon, either because life was so difficult, because it looked so improbable and impossible that God would save the Jewish people or that they would return to Israel, they had given up hope for whatever reason. And that's the pasuk that we saw last week after God said, I have not divorced the Jewish people. Komar Hashem, Eze Sefer Kritutim Chem Asher Shilachtia. The only reason I sent you into Galut was because you committed Averot, but it wasn't a get kritut. It wasn't that I was abandoning you. It was to teach you as a discipline method. Just like a parent doesn't, because they discipline a child, they're not rejecting the child. They dafka want the child to be better. And yet God says, Madua bati v'ein ish karati v'ein onet. Why do I come? And there's nobody ready. There seems to be a lot of people who don't believe the Navi, who reject the Navi, who don't want to believe that they can leave Babylon, who are not ready to organize themselves to leave Babylon. All these fundamental points. And God mocks and says, Akatzor katzraya dimiptut. Is it because you have a theological question that I can't redeem you? V'im ein bikoach latzil? In the past, with my anger, I achriv yam, which literally translates as destroy the sea, but it, obviously in this context, it goes back to the language of Kriyat Yamsuf, vayasem hayam b'charava, that God turned the sea into a dry land. The desert is sometimes called Chorev. That's why the Mount of Chorev, it was a mountain with nothing on it. Asim neharot midbar, tiv'ash degata me'ein mayim v'tamot batzama. There's no water. All the fish die out. So God says that he has this ability. And The second part of the perek that we saw last week emphasized that the Navi kept at it. It's a kind of a little aside that even a ben, but the purpose of the aside is to give us a window into the fact that clearly the resonance of this nivuota geula that he's been saying, or that he said, that were recorded in the first 9-10 chapters, were not necessarily always received well. Adonai natan li lishon limudim ladat laufet yaif davar. God taught me, he gave me nivuot, ya'ir baboker baboker, ya'ir li ozen. God opened up my, right? But, anochi lo mariti, I followed what God said, I didn't rebel, I said, achor lo nisagoti, I never turned back. The implication being that there were days that were very difficult. And then he explicitly says, gevi natati lemakim, I gave my back to those who hurt me, l'chayay l'mortim, I gave my cheek to those who wanted to pull out my beard, meaning I didn't fight back. Panay lo histarti miklimot varok, I accepted spittle that was and disdain that was sent my way, meaning the Navi tells you, he gives you a window into the fact, as we know from many other parts of Tanakh, Yirmiyahu was thrown in jail, other Nevi'im were murdered, Nevi'im were often mocked for what they said, especially if it didn't fit in to the national and foreign policy of the king. Remember, there were two types of Nevi'im in antiquity. There were the court prophets, who we meet along the way in Tanakh all the time, prophets who lived in the court, were sustained by the court, and often said what the right thing to say was in order to be accepted. On the other hand, there were the prophets of Israel who are never court prophets. They constantly are, you know, as the phrase goes, they speak truth to power. Eliyahu, Elisha, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel are not prophets that are, you know, are paid for and bought for and live in the court. They actually live away from society. So he describes what's happening. But he also trusts, and Vadunai Elohim Yazor li Alkein lo nichlamti, Alkein samti panai kachalamish, Vaidaki lo evosh, Karov matzdiki mi ariviti. I know that God is close to me, my Redeemer, the one who will justify me, mi bal mishpati, gosh, anyone who wants to argue with me, hey Nadunai Yazor li, mi hu yarshieni, hin kulam kabeged yivlu ashi ochlem. And this is where we got up to last week. The Navi turns to this group of people, some of whom are not ready to believe. And again, it evokes, it evokes for us, all kinds of associations. If we remember, we remember the Midrashim that talk about Mitzrayim, that many Jews did not leave Mitzrayim. Many Jews didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. Many Jews died in Mitzrayim. And the same thing, when we think about other times in Jewish history, when there was opportunities to leave and go to Eretz Yisrael in very difficult situations, and people didn't leave, and in the end they were, they were murdered, etc. So the Navi, however, turns in his final turn to the group that is willing, and he tries to find amongst the populace, Mi bachem yirei Adonai, who are those who are, pious, Shomea bekol avdo, who will listen to the voice of his servant, me, Asher halach hashechim, those who are going in the dark, ve'inogalo, yiftach b'shem Hashem v'yishain belohav, trust in the name of the Lord. So he's trying to me'oded, he's trying to encourage those amongst the populace who are hearing all these arguments, don't get ready to go to Bavel, don't believe the prophet, don't sell your houses in Bavel. And it continues, Hein kulchem kodchei esh. There's two ways to read this pasuk. One way is, and the dominant way, and is the way that, I think most Mefarshim read it, and that's the way we'll read it. One way is to read it just kind of neutrally, but most Mefarshim read it as a negative, that though he turns and he's trying to find the Yirei Hashem and the Botchim B'Hashem, he says, most of you, at the same time, Hin kulchem kodchei esh, You guys are trying to, you are the ones who are putting fire. Now, fire can be healthy, but fire can also be destructive. Me'azrei zikot, l'chu be'or u'shchem. Follow in the or, which in this context is different than or. Follow your fire, l'ma'atseva tishkavun. But it will ultimately be a place where you'll lie down in etzev, with yisurim, with afflictions, with sadness. So, again, the Navi here ends with a with this kind of tension, that he's looking for those who are willing to believe, who are willing to accept the nevuot that he's been saying, but at the same time he sees a lot of opposition. But again, as I've said many times, the Navi continues, because these nevuot were given over the course of many, many months, many years. And so he continues his attempt to persuade. And so the next perek, and here what we're going to see is a series of mini nivuot in the next two prakim. Mini nivuot. And you'll see that these mini nivuot, they start with imperatives, with tzivuyim, with commands. So just to highlight, if you look at verse 1, 1 through 3, Shim'u Eli rod fei tzedek, listen to me, habitu. The next one starts, hakshivu Eli ami, ha'azinu, listen. The next one, shim'u Eli yod eit tzedek, al tira'u. The next one is a double one, uri uri, liv she'oz. And the next one is also a double, but this time it's not a command. So we have basically, we have three little sections, shim'u, hakshivu, shim'u, and it culminates with this fourth section, which is the doubling, uri uri, get up, hit oruri, so to speak. And then, there's a little break here. Just like there was Uri Uri, now it's Anochi Anochi. And then it comes back once again in the next little section, Hit Orari, Hit Orari. Again, turning to the people. And finally, it comes back in the next chapter, to one more time, comes back in the next chapter to Uri Uri, Livshi Uzeich, etc. So we have this repetition, and this goes basically till one more, I'm sorry, Suru Suru Tzu'umisham. So we have this series of imperatives, these little nivuot that basically go from excuse me, the beginning of chapter 51 till the middle of chapter 52, and then the middle of chapter 52 starts an entirely its own unit, which we're going to have to spend a lot of time. That's the famous perek of the suffering servant. So let's try to see how much we can do of this section, at least tonight. So Shim'u Eli rod fei tzedek. The terminology of Rodefei Tzedek is, of course, a wonderful, Rodef Shalom, Rodef Tzedek is a very biblical term. Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, Mivakshei Hashem. This is all language from the book of Deuteronomy. Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof. Also the language of Ubikashtem Misham et Hashem Elokecha, you should seek out the Lord. So he's, again, picking up on what he finished in the last chapter, right? So in the last chapter, he was looking for the Yirei Hashem and the Botchim B'Hashem Hashem. Now, he's looking for the Rodfei Tzedek Mivakshei Hashem. Habitu El Tzur Chutzavtem. Look back. So listen to me, but also look back in history to the tsur, to the rock from which you were hewn, H-E-W-N, ve'el makevet bor nukartem, which is parallel, and to the quarry, the bore, the hole from which you were chiseled out, nukartem. The language of Rodfei Tzedek also, in my mind, and I think in the Navi, and that's why immediately he translates. What does it mean to look back at where you were fashioned from, your core? So he says, "Habitu al Avraham avichem ve'el Sarah techolelchem." Right? There were two phrases: "Sur chutzavtchem, makevet bor nukartem," the rock from which you were founded, and the quarry, the quarry and its bore from which you were hewn. So there's also Habitu al Avraham avichem ve'el Sarah techol elchem. So go back and look at Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who made you, techol elchem, who created you, who brought you into being. Now, specifically, Avraham, I think, is a very interesting choice. To use Avraham is also to play off the Rodfei Tzedek. Because if there's one thing we know about Abraham in the Bible, is the Bible associates Abraham more than any of the other avot, the other founders of the Jewish people, with tzedek. For example, in describing, and tzedakah, in describing Abraham, trust in God, the Bible says that God said to him, "Go out," and I think it's very striking. He promises him that he's going to have children. Vayotzeo to hachutza vayomer habet na hashamayim usfar kochavim tuchal isparotam. Vayomer lo ko yezarecha veheemin bahashem. He had trust in God. He was loyal to God. Vayachshever lo tzedakah. And it was considered to him a righteousness, a tzedakah. Vayomer elav, ani Hashem ashot tzeiticha me'eretz me'ur kazdim, latet lecha et eretz hazot l'rishta. So it's interesting that the nevuah that Abraham gets right after he trusts in God's promise that he will have numerous offspring, he will have progeny and a continuity, is the nevuah that I'm the one who's taken you from Ur Kasdim, latet lecha et eretz hazot l'rishta, to give you this land. I've taken you from Ur Kasdim, from Mesopotamia, to this land of Eretz Yisrael. We also know about Abraham, not only this tzedakah, but also when God decides that he has to tell Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom. So the Bible says explicitly that God says, "Hamechaseni me'Avraham asher ani oseh, v'Avraham hayo yiyeh legoy gadol v'atzum v'nivruchu b'cho kol goye ha'aretz, ki yida'ativ l'man asher yitzaved banav et beito v'charav, v'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat, l'man avi Hashem al Avraham et asher diber alav." So Abraham is the man who is Mr. He'emin v'Hashem v'yachshevel lo litzedakah. Abraham is the person who teaches his children tzedakah u'mishpat. And so when the Navi here immediately says, "I'm looking for the Rodfei Tzedek," Shimulai Rodfei Tzedek Mivakshei Hashem, I think there's something immediately the reader would have thought about, who are the Rodfei Tzedek? And immediately the Navi plays with the Abraham theme. Habitu el Avram Avichem ve'el Sarah techol elchem. Also, Abraham was the one who in history went from Mesopotamia to Eretz Yisrael. He went from Ur Kasdim and lived there so much of his life and yet left there and went to Eretz Yisrael. Habitu el Avraham avichem, ve'el Sara techol elchem. And Abraham, of course, was blessed here with a promise of many children. And then he says an interesting thing. Ki echad kirativ va'avarchehu va'arbehu. For he was, I called him when he was one, and he came. Va'avarchehu va'arbehu. And I gave him bracha and arbehu. I knew. So the blessing, which is exactly what God said to Abraham in the Brit Ben Abtarim. He said to him, I am going to bless you with a lot of children. You will inherit the land. And so too, in a sense, Hashem is saying to the exiles in Bavel, don't give up hope. Just like Abraham was one, just one person, a few people, wasn't necessarily everybody, but if they trusted, he believed, and by the end, he became numerous. He became melachim ugoyim mimcha yetzeu. So to you. Also the phrase, ki echad karati, has two implications. Implication number one is, remember the beginning of the first of last perek. Lama madua bati ve'ein ish, karati ve'ein oneh. I called and no one answered. Abraham was just the opposite. Abraham, I called him and he answered and he came. Lech lecha mi'artzcha mi'artcha mi'beit avicha. And so in a certain sense, this is very nice. The second thing I want to notice is this phrase, ki echad karati, I called, he was only one, or he is one when I called him, in relationship to Abraham, appears one other time in Tanakh. And I think that this is kind of clear, it's clear to me, that the Navi here is engaging in a ping pong with another group of Jews. We've been talking about, and maybe playing off of another text, which comes from a time a little bit before this time, but is also relevant to the idea of returning to the land of Israel. If you go to the book of Yechezkel, Yechezkel, of course, lives during the period of time. He went into exile with King Jehoiachin in 597 BCE. He lives through the Churban HaBayit in Bavel. He hears about the Churban HaBayit in Bavel. He ends up prophesying after the Churban HaBayit for another few years, decades. We don't know exactly, but he lives post the Churban. But he is prophesying mostly in Bavel, but here and there, he directs a prophecy to the Jews in who are still in Eretz Yisrael, meaning even after the exile. Now again, it could be that this was the exile between 597 and 586, and this Nevuah that we're going to look at in a second was during that period of time when there was still a small remnant of Jews still living in Eretz Yisrael. And listen to what they say in the book in Yechezkel. If you look in Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Gimel. If you look in Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Gimel. Okay, one second. I just need to say, okay, thank you. Okay, if you look in Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Gimel, so let me put that on. So then the Navi is engaging with the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And at that point, he says something, he reacts to the people in Eretz Yisrael. And listen to what they say. They say, in Perek Lamed Gimel, what did I say? Pasuk Chav Dalet. Vayhi dvar Adonai Eli lemor. Ben Adam Yoshvei Hacharavot Ha'ela Latmat Yisrael. The people who are living right in the destruction. Omrim lemor. Echad haya Avraham. Abraham was one. Vayirasha ta'aretz. Va'anachnu rabim. Lanu nitna ha'aretz lemorasha. They basically say the land is ours, and no one else has a right to it. Meaning the Jews in Bavel, you know, they can forget about returning, and they can forget about having any claim to the land. Lachain amor aleim. God says, tell these Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael and have this claim, and say, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land. We're many, and therefore, kal v'chomer, lanu nitna haaretz l'morasha. We are the ones who have inherited the land, because we're living in the land. L'chein emor alayim, kol mar Hashem elokim al adam tochlu, v'ayichem tisu el gilulchem. You do all these averos, v'haaretz tirashu? Amadetem al chor b'chem, asitem toiva, etc. V'haaretz tirashu? That's not what's going to happen. The land is going to be destroyed. And Dafka, the people from Bavel, are the ones who are going to come back and re-inhabit the land, which is a major theme of the book of Yechezkel. The small community that's left in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban is not going to be successful. And it's actually the community of Bavel which is eventually going to come back and restore life and living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we have here, I think the Navi is playing, let's just go back to Tanakh. The Navi is playing, I don't know why this is weird. I don't want Parshiot. So let me just go to Amud HaBayit. No, I don't want that also. Okay. Tanakh. So if we go back to Tanakh, Im Nikud. So the Navi here in Yeshayahu, so in Perek Nun Aleph, he's playing off of these people as well. Habitu al Avraham avichem vel sarto ki echad karativ. Again, I called him one, va'avarcheu va'arbehu. And now I'm speaking to you guys in Bavel, Yeshayahu Hasheni says, and he is going to also make you numerous, like he did with Abraham. Ki nicham Adonai Tzion, nicham kol chorvoteha. God has brought nechama to, God will bring comfort to Zion. Nicham kol chorvoteha. We say this at the end of the keynote on Tisha B'Av. Ki nicham Hashem Tzion, nicham kol chorvoteha. Vayasem midbara ke'eden ve'arvata. Kigan Hashem. He will restore its desert like Eden. The theme that Eretz Yisrael will become Eden-like, which is a theme throughout Tanakh, that Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be a kind of miniature Eden, or Eden is supposed, whatever way you want to take it. That's why, for example, when it says that Kain vayetze Kain milifnei Hashem, and then when Yonah is boreach milifnei Hashem, leaving Eretz Yisrael is milifnei Hashem, Gan Eden is milifnei Hashem. Vayasem midbarak Eden varvatak gan Adonai. Sason v'simcha yimatzeba toda v'kol zimra. Now all of these psukim are also playing off of psukim of Yirmiyahu. Meaning if this is written, you know, 30 years after Yirmiyahu gave his beautiful nevuot of Nechama. Remember, the book of Yirmiyahu is a big downer, except for four or five chapters in the middle. And in the middle, Yirmiyahu gave a series of nevuot, what's called the nevuot ha-geula. And so in, for example, chapter 31, which is the haftorah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Shim'u devar Adonai goyim v'agidu b'im merchak v'amru mizari Yisrael yikabtzenu. God has redeemed Jacob.
Uvau,
Hashem al dagam v'tirosh, az tismach betula b'machol, then when they return to Eretz Yisrael, az tismach betula b'machol, the betula, the virgin will once again be, you know, be happy in her dance, u'bachurim uzkenim yachdav, v'hafachti evlam l'sason v'nichamtim v'simachtim miyigonam. So the sason, the nechama, the simcha, made even more explicit when we go to chapter 33, which is a very famous pasuk, which we use part of, in Perek Lamed Gimel, where the Navi says, Kol Amar Hashem, Od yishama b'makom hazeh asher atem omrim charev hu, me'ein adam me'ein behema bereida, this place which you say is desolate of people, u'b'chutzot Yerushalayim haneshamot me'ein adam me'ein yoshev, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala, kol omrim hodu et Adonai tzvot ki tov Adonai, ki lolam chazdo mevi'im toda bet Adonai, ki ashiv et shuva aretz kivarishona. So, again, you have the elements of chatan v'kala, singing, kol sason, kol simcha, and the todah, mevi'im the todah. So now when we go back to, to Yeshayahu, and we go back to Yeshayahu, and we see he's, you know, basically riffing off of these beautiful nevuot that were written, you know, or recited 30, 40 years before to give hope to the Jewish people. He says, this is exactly what's going to happen. Ki nicham Adonai Tzion, nicham kol chorvoteh, v'yasem itbarak eden, v'arvatagan Hashem, sason v'simcha imatzeba, todah v'kol zimra. So that's the first section that we have here, the very rich section playing off of the past perek, alluding to a polemic with Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael, as well as alluding to the Jews who are in Bavel and have not taken up the call. Abraham was called and came and was blessed and became a numerous nation. So too, the remnant in Bavel will, if they come back, Zion will be restored. We now come to the second Nevuah. Again, was it given the same week, the same month? I have no idea. But the final editor of the book of Yeshayahu decided to put it together with the rest of the Nevuot. So now we have, Hakshivu Eli Ami, Ule'umi Eli Ha'azinu. Listen up, my people. Interesting. Again, language of love, language of closeness. Was this also part of the technique? Ule'umi, my people, Eli Ha'azinu, listen to me. Hakshivu Eli Ami, Ule'umi Eli Ha'azinu, a nice chiastic structure. Hakshivu Ha'azinu. A, B, B, Ami, Ami, C, C in the middle. Ki Torah me'eti teitze, u'mishpati l'or amim argia. God here, once again, a theme that has shown itself in the second half of Yeshayahu, but actually is also in the first half of Yeshayahu, and I'll show you that in a second, what this specific section, I think, is playing off of. He says, this redemption, this return to Zion, is not just for us. Hakshivu Eli Ami Ulumi, ki Torah me'iti teitze. Torah will go forth from me, umishpati, and my judgment, my guidance, leor amim argia. So I'm going to guide nations, and I'm going to give them direction, argia. Karov tzidki yatsa yish'i. My tzedek My justice, the righteousness is coming soon, and my redemption is coming soon. Uzro'ai amim yishpotu. With my hand, with my arm, I will judge the nations. Elai iyim yikavu. The farthest reaches of the world, they will seek God. They'll desire, because they see that God is a God who redeems, a God who destroys evil. Ve'el zro'i yiyachelun. They will desire, they will hope for, liyachel. And this is what they will hope for. Now this text also seems to be playing, not just immediately a couple of prakim we've had, but to one of the foundational prakim in Yeshayahu, which is Perek Bet. Again, I've mentioned many times that whoever wrote the second half of Yeshayahu, if it was the same person, so it makes sense, if it's a different person, they knew very well, they had received, maybe they were descendants of the Beis Medrash, of the school of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu in his famous Perek Bet, the Isaiah, what's called the, you know, today the Isaiah Wall near the UN, all the nations of the world will stream towards Jerusalem. From Zion will go forth Torah. Torah will go forth. That's the phrase. Doesn't say Torah will stream, it says Torah will go forth. V'shafat bein hagoyim, and God will adjudicate between the nations. V'ochiach lamim rabim. So this is God teaching the nations, guiding the nations, adjudicating between the nations. They're going to come to Zion. So in chapter 2, the universal element is they're going to come to Zion. If we go back to Perek Nun Aleph, here, it's not from a specific place. It's God just says, listen, Hakshivu Elai Ami Ilumi Elai Azinu, Ki Torah Me'iti Teitze, from me personally, God, doesn't say from Zion. Maybe Zion is not yet rebuilt for that to happen. But in the salvation of the Jewish people, there will be a teaching. Umishpati Laor Amim Argia. And I will give a light to the nations that they'll learn from. Mishpati. And he continues. Karov tzidki yatsa yish'i. My justice is coming soon. Yatsa yish'i. My redemption is coming out. Uzroa amim yishpotu. My hand will judge the nations. Elai iyim yikavu, ve'el zroi yachelun. Su'u lashamay minechem v'abitu l'eretz mitachat. Just like, nice parallel, couple of parallels. First of all, we had the parallel of, not the parallel, but the tzedek is the connecting tissue. Shimu elai rodfei tzedek. Habitu el tzur machav tzem. The second nevuah speaks of karov tzidki, yatsa yish'i, su'u lashamayim einechem. Just like over there, habitu el tzur machav tzem. Su'u lashamayim v'habitu el haaretz mitachat. Ki shamayim ki ashan nimlachu. V'haaretz kabeged tivlev yoshvea kemochein yimutun. Which can be read either as, even if the heavens are going to be covered with smoke, and the land will, you know, dissipate like an old keveged tivle, like a garment that decays. V'yoshvea kemokein yimutun, and even if everybody dies, all the enemies. Yeshuati lo'olam tiyev et tzidkati lo teichat. My redemption will come, v'tzidkati lo teichat. It will not, you know, it will not be, it will not be something that will not happen. Notice again, throughout this text and many other texts, the terminology of tzidki and yish'i are constantly parallel. Karov tzidki, yatsa yish'i. Yeshuati la'olam tiyeh, v'tzidkati lo teichat. Yeshua and tzidka. So God's Yeshua is God's tzedaka, God being justified. God will redeem history. So again, this time tzedek is twice. Karov tzidki, tzidkati lo teichat. The first is Shimu Elai Rod Fei Tzedek. The third little nevuah, Shimu Elai Yodei Tzedek. Now we go from Rod Fei Tzedek to those who know Tzedek. Am Torati Belibam. Al Tiru Cherpat Enosh. Don't be afraid of the insults of man. Umigidu Feim Al Teichatu. Don't be afraid of the gidufim, ki kabeged yochleim ash, v'chatzemer yochleim sas, v'tzidkati lolam tiyeh, v'yishuati l'dor v'ador, l'dor dorim. So there, you know, like a moth eats the beged, v'chatzemer yochleim sas, they will disappear, they will eventually decay. They will not, you know, it's like wool that's going to be eaten by the mites, by the whatever, you know, by whatever animals or whatever insects. V'tzidkati lo'olam tiyev yishuati l'dor durim. Again, yod'ei tzedek, v'tzidkati lo'olam tiyev. Two times tzedek here. One time tzedek here. That's the connective tissue. The imperatives, shim'u, hakshivu, se'u, shim'u. And we finally get to this fascinating little section. This fascinating little section, which is a very wonderful section, but it also requires a little bit of analysis and knowledge of the ancient Near East. The Bible says, Uri, Uri, liv shi'oz. This time, the Navi is not talking to the people. He's not talking to the people, Shimu Elai. He's not talking to Hakshivu Elami. He's not talking to the Yod Eit Tzedek. This time he's talking to God. Uri, Uri, liv shi'oz. The Navi turns to God and says, wake up, wake up. Hit'orer, which means not literally wake up, but God should become involved in history again. Uri, Uri, wake up. Liv shi'oz, wear strength. Zroa Hashem, Uri ki yemei kedem. Like the days of old, dorot olamim. God mentioned, nice little play. God said, Sidkati lolam tiyeh. My redemption, even if all the nations will ultimately collapse and they'll disappear, my redemption and my promise will be forever. So now, the Navi says to God, that's true in the past, so now do it now. Zro Hashem uri ki mei kedem dorot olamim, like you did in the past. Halo athi Hamachzevet Rahav Mecholelet Tanim. So you are the one who destroys Rahav, who crushes Rahav Mecholelet Tanim, who destroys, who empties out the Tanim. Halo Ati Hamachrevet Yam. You are the one who destroys the sea, Mei Tahom Rabbah, the one who destroys the Tahom Rabbah. Hasama ma'amke yam derech la'avor ge'ulim. Uftuye Hashem yishuvun va'utzion berina v'simchat olam al rosham sason v'simcha yasigun nasu yagom baracha. Okay, so let's understand this with a little bit of the background of the ancient Near East. When one looks at Sefer Bereishit, chapter 1, one gets a very, very calm, placid picture of creation. Bereishit Perek Aleph is an intense, intense polemic against many of the creation myths that were floating around in the ancient world. The Canaanite myths, the Babylonian myths, the Egyptian creation myths. One of the things that you find in all the ancient creation myths is conflict. A lot of Sturm und Drang back and forth between the different gods and the different forces, challenging Tiamat, challenging Baal, challenging all these things. And in Genesis, we don't have that because, again, part of the agenda of Genesis 1 is to reject entirely the notion that there are male gods and female gods. Gender is only introduced with human beings. Zachar nekeva barauta. Also, the notion that there are independent powers floating around that challenge God is simply an anathema to the Torah, an anathema to Bereishit Perek Aleph. And so, any hint of that has been totally, rejected. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem writes Sefer Bereishit, it's a presentation of God is the sole actor. God acts because of God's will, not because of any other forces, magical forces, or because God is in conflict with any sea demons or anything like that. Just the opposite. God is the creator of everything. Nothing existed before God. God creates even the sea creatures, the great sea monsters, which in the ancient world were often seen as gods themselves and fought and tried to usurp the power of God. In Genesis 1, it's Vayivra Hashem, Vayivra Elokim et ha-taninim ha-gdolim. Even the great sea monsters or sea creatures are created by God. They have no independent power, etc. But Jews believed, as much as Bereishit Aleph presents what is the ideal hashkafa, there's no doubt that between the lines, we know, just like we know that Bnei Yisrael did a lot of Avodah Zarah, we also know that these themes were themes that were floating around in the consciousness, probably of the simple people. And here and there, they show their head. And even there, of course, biblical monotheism wants to make it clear that God is the supreme power. Even if you believe in these kind of gods or the one or powers, it's very clear Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who dominates. It's interesting also that if you look, for example, some of these echoes of these mythological ideas are found in the Midrashim on Briyata Ulam, which talk about how the sea, the Yam, when Hashem said, the sea will go here, and here will go the land, so there's all kinds of Midrashim about how the sea, or Saro Shel Yam, the angel of the sea, didn't want to listen and wanted to go over its banks, and Hashem had to put it in its place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu stops and says, this is where you'll go, and this is where you won't go. You have Midrashim like that, which are echoes of mythological beliefs. And you have echoes of this as well is in Tehillim, in Eov, and in Sefer Yeshayahu. Now, sometimes it's used, like we use today in English, we sometimes use terms just because at one time they may have believed that they were actual powers, but today, like we use the word gremlins. Oh, there's a gremlin in the machine. Something's wrong with the machine. The gremlins got to it. We don't really believe in gremlins, but at one time people believed in gremlins and gargoyles and all these things. But we use it today. We've demythologized it. So too in Genesis 1, everything's been demythologized. Yam, the word Yam is the name, the Canaanite sea god. We've taken that and we demythologized it. We desacralized it. And it's just the sea. Tahome was the name of the deep sea god in Mesopotamia. We've demythologized it. Tahome Rabbah. The same thing here as well. We have echoes of that. And so the Navi says, Uri, Uri, liv she'o zro Hashem, Uri, Uri, ki me kedem, dorot olamim, halo ati ha-machtsevet Rahav. You are the one who destroyed Rahav. Rahav is an ancient Ugaritic monster. Mecholelet tanin, the one who destroyed the tanin. Now, the language here, of course, is playing off of the beginning of the nevu of the parrot. Habitu el tzur chutzavtem, the quarry. Ve'el makevet bor nukartem. Habitu el Avram avichem ve'el Sara techol elchem. Sarah who made you. Here, it's hamecholelet tanin, God who destroyed the sea monster, the taninim. Halo ati hamachrevet yam, you were the one, God, who destroyed the sea. May Tahom Rabbah, the Tahom. You kept it in its place. Hasama mamke yayim. And then we move from Briyat Olam to Yitziat Mitzrayim. Hasama mamke yam derech lavor geulim. You made a path for the redeemed ones. Because of course, create Yamsuf is like creation. God splits the sea and says, the water will be here and the land will be here and the land will be here and the water will be here. It's an act of creation. I just want to show you this theme appears in a number of places in Tanakh just so that you should be aware. Again, this is not something that just, you know, kind of, you know, pops up once or twice. It appears in a number of times. So, for example, in Perek Chaf Zayin, in the book of Yeshayahu, Bayom Hahu, on that great day of Yifkor Hashem b'charbo akashav agdola v'chazaka, al Leviathan nachash bariach, the Leviathan nachash, the serpent bariach. Va'aliviatan nachash alakaton, v'harag et atanin asher bayam. God on that day will do, again, he will act in the same fashion he did. And again, it's an image that probably spoke to the simple people who probably believed, just like today, there are Jews who believe in all kinds of demonic powers and believe in all kinds of things. So too, they believed in all kinds of things. And it's speaking to the folk religion and the folk beliefs. Another example, if you look in Tehillim, look at a couple of examples in Tehillim. In Tehillim. In Tehillim. So we'll just go, you know, in Tehillim, Perek, Ayin Dalet, where we also call on God, Lama Hashem, Lama Elokim Zanachta Lanetzach, Zechor Adatcha Kanita Kedem, Ga'alta Shevet Nachlatecha. Remember how you, Amzu Kanita, Amzu Ga'alta, remember what you did at Kriyas Yamsuf. And they wanted to destroy us. Elohim, but you were once Malki Mikedem, God, you were my king. Adonai Imloch Lalam Va'ed. Poel Yeshuot, Bekerav Arts. Atav Forarta Be'oscha Yam. You crumbled the sea. Shibarta Rashay Taninim Al Hamayim. You destroyed the sea creatures. Atari Tzatzta Rashay Livyatan. You crushed the Livyatan, which of course in the Midrashim become this kind of mythical figure. Titnenu ma'achal la'am letziyim. Ata vakata ma'ayan vanachal. Ata huvashta naharot etan. Ata hitzavta kogvulot arts. So notice the mixing here of Kriyas Yamsuf and Briyat Ha'olam. That God, because God showed his great power in all of these examples. If we go back, if we go further, in Tehillim, Peitet, in Tehillim Peitet, The Navi says in Tehillim Peitet, Ata dikita kechalal Rahav, you destroyed like a corpse, Rahav. Bizroa uzcha pizarta oivecha, with the strength of your outstretched hand, which of course echoes Yitzias Mitzrayim. So you have all this mixing. Ata moshel begeutayam, you are the one who dominates the waves. When you dominated the waves, you destroyed the sea monsters who may have challenged the authority of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We go back, we go to the book of Eov. This appears a couple of times. Sorry, I don't know what this is. To get rid of this. In the book of Eov, for example, Eov Chafvav, I wrote down for myself in Eov Chavav, where he speaks of Bechochacha Raga Hayam, with your strength, you settled the sea, the raging sea, god. Ubitvunato Machatz Rahav, you destroyed Rahav. Beruchol Shamaim Shipra, Cholayado Nachash Bariach. Now, it's interesting, eventually Mitzrayim comes to be associated with this Nachash, because of course you know that Egypt took as the symbol the Tanin, the snake. And in Tanakh, the Navi, including Yeshayahu, talks about the destruction of Mitzrayim. What is it, Perek Lamed? He talks about they go down to Egypt, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they're Hevel Varik. Yeah, and where is that he's going to destroy? Is that the next Perek? Where he's going to destroy? Is it the next Perek? Is it Lamed Aleph? Hoy hayordim Mitzrayim leEzra. This is all about the going down. Well, I can't find it right now, but he says that he's going to destroy the Tanin of Mitzrayim, etc. So this is a, you know, a theme that you find if we go back in what we were looking at in Yeshayahu. So the Navi turns to Hashem.
Rabbi, it was a few weeks ago. It was an Haftarah.
Yes, I just can't remember exactly which one. Yeah. So, with this promise of that God should once, just like he did in the past, destroy all the forces arrayed against him, Rahav, Tanin, Tahom, Yam, Hasamam Amke Yam Derech Lavor Geulim, Uvdei Adonai Yishuvun Uvau Tzion Berina, Okay, Emir Tzeshem, next week, we will continue our study of chapter 51, hopefully we'll be able to finish, go into chapter 52, and then after that, we'll get to the middle of chapter 52, and then we're going to spend a couple of weeks on the suffering servant chapter, which is a major chapter that has to be examined in depth. Let me just check the chat. The language of the Shira itself, correct, has creation references, which of course is correct, and should be. Okay. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom to everyone, and let's hope for
Shabbat
good.
Shira.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Shabbat Shalom.